The name Armageddon is a word that is known, one of those words that are known around the whole world. It is known and used by heads of governments, by leaders of the world, by the news media, by scholars, and by ordinary people almost everywhere. It is a prominent name for Bible scholars and for knowledgeable Christians every place. A few weeks ago, the thought occurred to me to wonder whether or not this name appeared in dictionary. So I took off the shelf my edition of Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. And to my pleasure and satisfaction, I discovered that it is recorded and defined there. Two definitions are offered in Webster's Collegiate. The first, the place of a great battle to be fought out on the great day of God between the powers of good and evil. The second, any great climactic conflict. Well, the name Armageddon is certainly a Bible subject about which every Christian ought to be well informed. I am preaching on that subject today, both this morning and tonight. Initially, my intention was to speak on the subject of Armageddon this morning alone, and another message tonight. It became apparent to me, however, that it would be not only impossible, but really a great mistake to try in the limited amount of time that I have now to teach very adequately at all on this subject of Armageddon, a subject so prominent and so important. And therefore, I have determined that this morning I will speak on the subject and primarily really introduce us to the theme. And tonight, I will conclude the study of this prominent Bible subject. As I teach today, I want to teach three aspects of this theme. The first of those will be this: where is Armageddon? The second of those areas is this one: what is Armageddon? And the third aspect of that subject: when is Armageddon? Where is Armageddon? What is Armageddon? And when is Armageddon? In the message that I bring to you this morning, I'm going to deal principally with the first of those and probably begin to introduce the second of those. In the message that I bring this evening to you, I shall continue with the second aspect of that and finally try to teach the third: when is Armageddon? I ask you to take your New Testament now and look in the last book of the New Testament, to the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 16. I wish to read to you, as you follow silently, at the 16th verse of that 16th chapter, these words: and they gathered them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Armageddon. Modern translations mostly have that word that I have just pronounced, Armageddon, spelled H-A-R hyphen Mageddon. Older translations of the Bible, like the King James, usually will have the word Armageddon. Armageddon is simply the Hebrew transliterated into the English. And this word, this verse, the 16th verse which we have read, is an extremely important word. It is important because, as you will notice in the verse that follows, toward the end of that 17th verse, a loud voice from the throne saying, "It is done." Here is something given to us in the pages of the New Testament that is associated by the Word of God with the end of human history, with the climactic event of time when God will bring to consummation His purposes and plans upon the earth. And in connection with that, the words of the 16th verse are these: "They gathered them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Harmageddon." That word Harmageddon is a very important word. It is the word which simply means the Mount of Megiddo, or the Mountain of Megiddo, which is a very prominent geographical location in the land of Israel. I would like to take the time in the message this morning to make that location so clear to you. I would like to paint the scene of it so vividly that hereafter, when you hear the word Armageddon, or when you hear the subject Armageddon, you will have in your mind a clear concept of the place, Mount Megiddo, where this climactic event is declared in the Bible to occur. Mount Megiddo is a flat-topped hill in northern Israel, which rises above the adjacent land 88 feet. And the top, the summit of it, includes 13 acres there, and the slopes of that hill include about 35 acres of land. It is located about halfway between the coast of Israel in the north, the Mediterranean, and the southern end of the Sea of Galilee. Let me try to help you locate this in your thinking. If you were to travel in Israel by automobile and were to leave the city of Haifa along the Mediterranean coast up north and were to head east toward the southern end of the Sea of Galilee, about halfway there, approximately 25 miles to either, is this striking hill, Mount Megiddo, which is going to be, according to the New Testament, the scene of one of the most prominent events of future times. So in your thinking this morning, you will place in your mind this Mount Megiddo up in northern Israel, between the Sea of Galilee, the southern end, and the Mediterranean. It overlooks to the east, that is, when one stands on the top of this hill and looks eastward to the northeast, to the east, and to the southeast, it overlooks the Valley of Esdraelon, or the Plain of Jezreel, the largest valley in the nation of Israel. A valley that is 28 miles across it in one direction and is 27 and a half miles across it in the other direction. A magnificent valley, the largest valley in the whole nation of Israel. It is called the breadbasket of Israel. In that valley are acres and acres of wheat and cotton and cauliflower and cabbages and citrus fruits. A magnificent scene to stand on the top of Mount Megiddo and look toward the east over that enormous valley that feeds the nation Israel. It is the place of tremendous historical events. I must tell you about two or three of those if you are going to appreciate this unusual scene and sight that is there. For example, as you stand on the peak of that Mount Megiddo and look toward the northeast across the valley there, probably some 10 miles, on the other side are the mountains of Galilee, and just on the edge, the rim of the mountains of Galilee, as you stand at Megiddo, visible to the naked eye, is the little village of Nazareth, where Jesus spent the years of his childhood and youth. Especially if you stand on that mountain in the afternoon when the sun shines from the west and toward the east, and you stand looking there clearly with your eyes, you see the outline of that ancient city of Nazareth where Jesus lived. Just south, 8.5 miles from Nazareth, in the center of the valley, is a mountain named Mount Tabor, which is the Hebrew name, Navel. For this mountain stands in the center of the valley. It was on the slopes of that mountain that Jesus, as an adult, met the funeral procession of a widow whose only son had died. And there, outside the little village of Nain, Jesus had performed one of his great miracles, raising up from the dead the son of the widow of Nain. That's out in the plain of Esdraelon, by the slopes of Mount Tabor. You stand on Mount Megiddo and look to the east, and there, some 10 or 12 miles out in the valley, rises this great historic mountain, Tabor. To the south of it, a short distance, and to the west, is a second mountain, Mount Gilboa. These two mountains stand out in the center of the valley, and it was at Mount Gilboa that the first king of Israel, Saul, had come north with his son and their armies to fight against the Philistines. And there at that mountain, Saul was slain, lost his life. A very historic place in terms of prominent biblical events that occurred there. But more than that, this Mount Megiddo and that plain of Esdraelon are important for one principal reason that I want to help you make very clear. That valley is the only pass through the land of Israel. And Israel is the land bridge that connects three continents. Now please try to picture this in your mind. To the west is Europe. To the east is Asia. To the south is Africa and Egypt. These three great continents are joined with one land bridge, which is the nation Israel. Israel connects Europe, Asia, and Africa. And the only land passed through the land of Israel is Esdraelon, the valley, adjoined by this mountain, Megiddo. What I am saying is this, that if anybody, any armies, or any significant movement wishes to move from Europe to Africa by land, they can only do so by going through Israel. And they can only go through Israel through Esdraelon. For armies do not move through mountains for obvious reasons. Or if they wish to move from Asia to Africa, or from Asia to Europe by land, the only way to move is through Israel. And the only way to go through Israel by land is through Esdraelon. Therefore, this valley of Esdraelon, this plain of Jezreel, guarded by a mountain called Megiddo, is of enormous importance for strategic reasons. To the north of it, think of this in your mind, to the north is Lebanon, Turkey, and Russia. To the east are Syria, Iran, China, India. To the west are Greece and Italy and Europe and the Western world. And any armies that wish to move from one continent to the other continent by land have to go through Israel. And to go through Israel, they have to go through the only pass in Israel, which is Armageddon, Megiddo. A tremendously strategic place in this area. It is, therefore, the place of tremendous battles in past history. Megiddo, historically in past history, has been the fortified place that has guarded this famous pass through the land. And some of the most famous battles in history have been fought in that particular place. When Alexander invaded the east from Greece and moved across the eastern world, Alexander the Great had to pass through Esdraelon. When Napoleon came to the Middle East from Europe and moved into the Middle East, Napoleon had to pass and did pass through Esdraelon. In World War I, it was General Allenby, the British general, who fought one of the concluding battles of the First World War when he met the Turkish forces in Israel. And General Allenby of the British Army met the Turkish forces in a battle at Esdraelon and defeated them there and was given the title the Viscount of Megiddo, General Allenby. Some of the most famous battles in history have been fought throughout the centuries of time in this historic place through which only those who will move by land must pass if they move from Europe to Asia or Asia to Africa or Europe to Africa. They have to pass through this valley, the only way to move through Israel, that is the bridge that connects the three great continents of the world. And thus it has become an historic place for tremendous military conflict throughout the centuries of time. Incidentally, Megiddo was the first excavation in modern times in the land of Israel in the early 1920s. The first excavations in Israel were begun, and they began at Mount Megiddo. And that became the source of James Michener's great book, the title known to you, The Source. When James Michener wrote his fantastic book, which is known over the world, entitled The Source, it was inspired by the excavations at Megiddo. Megiddo, being the fortified point that guards this tremendous pass, was destroyed in history 24 different times. And archaeologists began to dig it out. And they have found, as they have excavated that tremendous place, they found Solomon's stables there. You know, Solomon fortified Megiddo to guard that pass in order to support his 1,000 wives. Solomon fortified Megiddo and would let nobody pass that way except they paid a toll to him. And in fortifying Megiddo to guard that pass and to extract a toll from anybody who passed through Israel in that way, he built there stables for 500 horses and chariots, described in the Old Testament. And the excavations of Megiddo have uncovered all of that. They have uncovered a remarkable underwater system that takes water from outside into the fort itself that would guard it so that there would always be a supply of water inside that fortification. That's been uncovered. Tremendous excavations at Megiddo because over the centuries of time, Mount Megiddo and the Valley of Esdraelon have been the scenes of some of the world's most historic, significant conflicts of time. Now, with that background, that's where Megiddo is. In the future, my friends, when you hear the name Armageddon, when you hear the name the great conflict of future times, Armageddon, you ought always to have in your mind the scene which I have tried to describe for you here today. That flat-topped hill, overlooking to the east that enormous valley, through which armies of the world have always had to pass by land when they've moved from Europe to Asia or Asia to Africa or Russia down south, and always through that great valley there. That is where Armageddon is. Let me conclude this morning by briefly moving into the second of the subjects with which I deal in these messages, and that is the subject, what is Armageddon? You have open before you, I trust, that 16th chapter. And I'm going to ask you to move back with me briefly to the 12th verse. In the message that I bring this evening, I will give more extensive comments about these words. But let me begin this morning by starting to read at the 12th verse and following some selected words out of this great chapter. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river, the Euphrates. I want to explain about that tonight. And its water was dried up, that the way might be prepared for the kings from the east. The kings from the east are, those kings are governments or nations just east of the Euphrates River. And in modern days, and we could translate this back into ancient days, but in modern days, those are the nations, Iran, India, China, to the east of the river Euphrates. So in this 12th verse, the water of the Euphrates in a remarkable way is dried up in order that the nations of the east can be prepared to cross. Down in the 14th verse, we read something else that is significant about this. In the middle of that 14th verse, these words, to gather them together for the war of the great day of God, the Almighty, and immediately prior to those words, these, to the kings of the whole world. In other words, this is describing some kind of a worldwide conflict. The nations of the world are gathered. They are all involved in some kind of universal war. And as the nations of the world are prepared to gather, the Euphrates River is prepared in order that the nations to the east of it may come also and be a part of what is called at the end of that 14th verse, the war of the great day of God, the Almighty. And they gathered them together to the place called Armageddon. So the first brief introduction to this second aspect of the subject is this. Where Armageddon is, we know. What Armageddon is some kind of worldwide conflict which will culminate and end up in a meeting of the military forces of the world in the Middle East. And one significant place in which the military forces of the world will gather as the nations of the East invade will be Armageddon, a significant battle. Some of you may be saying to yourselves this morning, as I read these words from the Revelation, well, is it possible that perhaps this has already occurred? May it be that what John describes here is something that has now historically occurred in the past? I want to remind all of you of where and when this book was written. Think with me a moment. It will help to prepare you for the study of the rest of the subject. Please remember that when this book, the Revelation, was written, it was written by John the Apostle, who was on an island off the coast of Turkey called Patmos. The year was approximately 97 A.D. after Christ. John was a prisoner of the Roman Empire on that penal colony there. As he was in that place on a particular day, John said, God gave him a vision. And he said to him, John, I want to show you things that are going to come to pass at some future time. Remember that at this time, the temple at Jerusalem had already been destroyed. Try to get your historical perspective here, my friends. Remember that some 25 or 30 years before John saw this vision, that mighty temple of the Jews had already been wiped out, and large numbers of the people of Israel had already been scattered around the world. Masada, that famous fortress place of Herod's, had already fallen, if you know the story of Masada. Masada had fallen 30 years before this. The Jews were already beginning to be scattered around the world. In only 25 more years, the whole city of Jerusalem would be plowed under by Hadrian, the emperor of Rome. And all the Jewish people would be scattered around the world. And at that time, God spoke to this man, John, to say, "John, don't be afraid. I am the one who holds the key." Remember chapter 1. "I am he who liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the key. I want to show you things that are going to come to pass at future times." And then he began to show John in vision. And finally he showed to John this scene. He said, "The armies of the kings of the world and the armies of the kings of the east over the Euphrates gathered together for the great battle of the day of God. And he will gather some of them at Armageddon." And then the voice declared, "It is done." May God help us to get a grasp of this prominent teaching of biblical truth. Pray with me this morning. Father, I pray that this part of Scripture, so mysterious, so complex, and yet so important, will be a truth that will be not only helpful to us, but will become a part of our understanding of the pages of the Scripture. We pray through our Lord Jesus Christ and in His name.